This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Says to Moshe in Shemoshe, "Nakoim nikmas bnei Yisrael me'es hamidyonim." Take vengeance for the bnei Yisrael from the midyonim. Achar te'osef el amecho. After that, you will die. The midyonim were the ones who consulted with Bilam and arranged to through the availability, through the making available of their young girls, to attack the moral standards of Bnei Yisrael, realizing that from that they will achieve more than they could by warfare, that the Bnei Yisrael will lose a lot of their stature, and consequently will lose a great deal of their siyata dishmaya. And it caused the magefa, it caused tremendous loss to Klal Yisrael. Before Moshe's death, he's instructed by the Ribbono Shel Olam to take vengeance from the Midianites. Vayadaber Moshe el Ha'om leimo, and Moshe spoke to the people saying, Heicholtzu me'itchem anoshim latzovo, gird yourselves from among you men for the army, v'yiyu al Midyon, and attack Midyon, loseis nikmas Hashem b'Midyon, to apply the vengeance of the Ribbono Shel Olam against Midian. Says the Medrash, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ilu hoyo roitze Moshe lichyos kama shonim, hoyo choy. Had Moshe wanted to live several years longer, he could have done so. Shomar lo Yakodosh Baruch Hu, because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Nakim, first take vengeance, afa te yosef, and then you will die. Tolo hakosuv mitosoi b'midyan. The Ribbono Shel Olam linked his death, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, to Midian. Once you have taken vengeance from Midian, then you will die. Until you have taken vengeance from Midian, you will not die. And no time was given to him. He wasn't told that he had to do it immediately. Take vengeance from Midian. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Moshe's longevity was in his own hands. The Ribbono Shel Olam basically gave him the prescription to his own death and said, Moshe, this is the last mitzvah you're going to do. Here it is. And therefore, if he would have delayed the performance of that mitzvah, he would have delayed his death. But the Ribbono Shel Olam did this to show us, to demonstrate to us the praiseworthiness of Moshe. Omar bishvil she'echye Yaakov nikmas Yisrael, said Moshe, just so that I should live, is it right that the vengeance of Yisrael should be delayed? Immediately, without wasting any time whatever, Moshe gets busy with the mitzvah of fighting the Midianim. The Medrash is difficult. The Medrash says, Ilu hayoraitze Moshe lichyos kama shonim hayochai. Had Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live a few years longer, he could have done so. What's the had he wanted to? We know that he wanted to. We know that he desperately wanted to. We know that there's virtually nothing that he wanted more than to be given a little bit more, a little bit of a longer life. The prayer that he gave to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the pleading, the supplication, extra time to get into Eretz Yisrael, and the Midrashim upon Midrashim, when the Ribbono Shel Olam says, there's no way you're going to Eretz Yisrael, he starts pleading, good, so leave me in the desert, let me wander around the desert, just leave me alive. His pleas for life are pathetic. What is the Midrash saying? Ilu, if he wanted to live, he could have done so. And the implication is that he didn't want to live longer. Medrash goes on. Loses nikmas Hashem b'midyan. Is it correct, as Moshe says in the second pasuk, to apply the vengeance of Hashem against Midian? Hakadosh Baruch Hu amar nikmas b'nei Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, take vengeance for b'nei Yisrael, for the Jewish people against Midian. Moshe amar nikmas Hashem b'midyan. And Moshe Rabbeinu says the vengeance of the Ribbono Shel Olam, his quoting the Ribbono Shel Olam incorrectly, it would appear. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahem, so the Medrash explains, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to them, Eino Elo Deiko Shelochem Shegormu Li Lahazik Eschem. It is only your insult, it is the fact that you have been hurt, that you have been insulted, that you have been damaged, that I have to destroy these people, that I have to damage Midian. It's because of you. You take vengeance, they hurt you, you take vengeance. Amar Moshe, said Moshe, Ribbono Ha'ilonim, Ribbono Shel Olam, Im Hayinu Arelim, if we were non-Jews, or if the Aved Azor, or idol worshippers, or Kefrei Mitzvahs, or we just gave up the mitzvahs, we would have been assimilated Jews. Lo Yusoni Noson, Reinan Roidfin Acharin, they wouldn't have despised us and they wouldn't have pursued us. Elo Bishvil Teiro Mitzvah Shinasat Alona. The reason they hate us and the reason that they pursued us and tried to destroy us was because of the Torah and mitzvahs that you gave us. You're responsible for anti-Semitism, Ribbono Shel Olam, not us. Hilkach ha-mekomo shelcha, lo says nikmas Hashem b'midyan. Therefore, it's the vengeance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're taking up this battle on your behalf, not on our own behalf. Very strange medrash. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, look, had you behaved yourselves, I wouldn't have had to do anything. It's because they made you misbehave that I'm, for your sake, telling you to go and take their vengeance. So the Ribbono Shel Moshe, one second Ribbono Shel Olam, had you not started giving us the Torah and all this business, they would have left us alone altogether. It's your vengeance, not ours. What is that all about? In the second part of the Medrash, we have a very important yesod, a very important principle. The opposite ways of looking at the Torah and consequently at the Jewish people and at our function. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam sees it and the way we see it. And each way is correct and the two ways equate to one another, as opposite as they are. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a Torah and he gives us mitzvahs. Why does he do so? Because he needs the honor. Because he needs us to keep the mitzvahs? No. He does that as Kovid Yisrael. He does that for our own benefit. We, when we do the mitzvahs and we keep the Torah, must we do it for our own benefit? No. We do it as a Kovid Amokah, as a Kiddush Hashem. We're sanctifying the Ribbono Shel Olam's name. We're elevating the Ribbono Shel Olam's name. That's what motivates us to do it. Not our own well-being and our own motivation. It is necessary to understand that what on the surface appears to be things that we do for the Ribbono Shel Olam are in fact things that we're doing for ourselves. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tes Zayin, 16th Mitzvah, gives a little philosophy of mitzvahs in general and the psychology of mitzvahs in general, in which he lays one of his very important yesodos. I want to learn it through with you. Da ki ha'odom nifal kefi pe'uloisov v'liboy v'chol machshavoisov tomid achar maisav shehu oisek bohem im toiv v'imro. A human being operates in accordance with his actions. The first yesod, the basis of the yesod of the Sefer HaChinuch, that our operation on every level, our spiritual operation, our psychological operation, our mental operation, is all in accordance with our actions. The libo and one's heart, the chol machshavei yisov and all one's thoughts, every aspect of one's thoughts, the chol machshavei yisov, all one's thoughts, tomid, always. Achar maisav shehu oisek bohem. Follow the actions that one is involved in. Im tov v'imro, whether good or bad. V'afilu rosho gomor bilvovo, and even an extremely wicked person in his heart. V'chol yetze machshavos liboy rak ro kol hayom, and his heart is just full of evil thoughts all day. Im ya'are rucho, if he will awaken his spirit. V'yosim hishtad lusoi v'oskoi b'hasmodo, and if he will apply his energies and his dealings continuously b'teiro v'mitzvahs, all of a sudden he'll start doing teiro v'mitzvahs. His thoughts are terrible, his motivation is terrible, everything's bad. that he decides he's going to start doing Torah mitzvahs. Afilu shalei l'shem shemayim, even not for the Ribbono shel Olam's sake, not l'shem shemayim. Miyad yate el hatoiv. Immediately it will have an effect. It will alter his being a little bit towards good. And even though he starts with the wrong intention, it will come out to the right intention ultimately. Uvekoyach ma'esav, and through the power of his actions, yamis ha'yetzahara, he will kill the yetzahara. His desire to do wrong will be completely neutralized, not by his philosophy, and not by his thoughts, and not by his spirit, but by his actions. Because every action is already a battle with the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah doesn't mind that much what you think. The Yetzirah minds what you do. Because the Yetzirah also knows that what you do is going to affect what you are. And all it has to concern itself with is what you do. That's why the Yetzirah doesn't attack great philosophers. Doesn't mind great philosophers making great philosophies, as long as they don't behave in accordance with their philosophies. That's all that's important, because the Yetzirah knows if they'll behave in accordance with their philosophies, they will become great people. Doesn't mind people having big philosophies. Ki acharei ha-pe'ulis nimshochim ha-levovis, because the heart follows the deed. It's not the other way around. We don't do what we want. We learn to want that which we make a habit of doing. When you get into a routine, you develop a taste for it. When you do something continuously and perpetually, and you do it properly and with the application, as he said, ishtadlusoi va'oskoi ba'asmodo, his energies and his dealings continuously in Torah mitzvahs, eventually one develops a philosophy to explain what it is that one's doing and to develop a taste for it. Yafilu im yeh odom tzadik gomu, and even if a person will be a complete tzadik, ulvovo yosho v'tomim, and his heart will be straight and perfect, chofet v'tzoyro v'mitzvahs, desirous of Torah and mitzvahs, an absolute tzaddik, he wants nothing else in his life but Torah and mitzvahs. Im yaseik tomid bidvorim shel doifi, if he continuously begins to act and involve himself in matters of meaninglessness, ki'ilu toima derech moshel, as if one would say, for example, sheikh richo yamelech umnuhu beumonus ro be'emes im kol oskoi tomid kol ayun bo'isu umnus. For example, he's a tzaddik, but he finds himself in a job where his balabos wants him to do bad things all day. Not his desire. He wants to be a tzaddik. No question about that. But he finds himself in a situation where he's got to constantly compromise and do things which are against the Torah, not through his own will. Ultimately, Yoshuv lizman min azmanim mitzidkas libui lihi is rosho goma. There will come a time eventually when his heart, his mind, will be altered from its original tzidkus, its original righteousness, and he will become a perfect Roshah. What's changed? His philosophy never changed. He didn't notice his philosophy changing. But it is inevitable. Because the pu'ulis, aki acharei ha-pu'ulis nimshochim ha-levovis. After the actions, the heart is attracted. What you do will determine your philosophy. It's not that your philosophy will determine what you do. Ki yadua hadover ve'emes, the thing is known and it is true. Shekol odom nifal kufi pu'uloisov, k'mo she'amanu, that every man is affected by his actions, as we have said. Ve'alken, and therefore, Omru Chazal have said, Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakris is Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give merit to Israel, to benefit them. Lafichach, therefore, hirbo lohem Torah mitzvahs. That's why he gave them so many Torah mitzvahs. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? Why did he give us so much opportunity to do wrong? Why did he give us so many mitzvahs? Why didn't he give us seven like he gave everybody else? Rotzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakris is Yisrael. He wanted to benefit us. Why? Kedei lahatpis bohem kol machshaveisenu, so as to attach to these mitzvahs all our thoughts. In order that all our dealings should involve mitzvahs, there isn't a moment in one's life where one is not somehow governed by mitzvahs. Lehetiv lonu ba'achariseinu, says that in the long term we should be better off. Ki mitoicha pe'ulos ha'toivis, because as a result of these good deeds, anachnu nif'olim liyos toivim, we are acted upon to be good, v'zeichim l'chaye ad, and we merit eternal life. V'romzu zal al zeh, and the Chazal hinted at this when they said, kol mi sheyesh lo mezuzah b'fitcha, anybody who has a mezuzah on his door, a tzitzis b'bigdoy, and tzitzis on his clothes, u'tfilin b'roisho, and tfilin on his head, muftach lo shelo yechta. It is assured that he will not sin to the Ribbono Shleilo. Lefi she'ilu mitzvahs timidiyas, because these are constant mitzvahs, v'nifal bohem tomid, and is continuously involved in them. Tefillin used to be worn all day, not only at the time of davening. And if a person would go around with always a mezuzah on his door, whenever he walked in and out of his house, he would see the mezuzah, always tefillin on his head and tefillin on his arm, always tzitzis on his clothes, that he's constantly obvious, he's constantly aware and alert to these mitzvahs, this will affect him. Let's just finish the end of this little section. Lachem, therefore, ato re'ei, you have a look, he says to the reader. Gam re'ei, examine, ma melach techol v'iskecho, examine what is your work and what is your dealings, what do you do all day? Ki achareim timshuch, because you can see where you're going to land up by examining what you do all day. That will determine what kind of a person you're going to be ultimately. V'atol lo timshechem. You will not draw your actions in the direction you want to go. V'al yavtichecho yitzrecho leimar, and do not allow your yetzer to assure you to say, acharei yes libi sholim v'tomim be'emunas elokim, since my heart is dedicated and pure in belief of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ma hepsed yesh kies aneglif amin b'sanugi anoshim. What does it matter if I occasionally indulge in a little bit of pleasure? Loshevis bishvakim uverchovis, to sit around in the marketplace and in the streets, his leitzim, aleitzim, to joke around with the leitzim, we defined leitzim earlier today, uledaber tzachus, and to talk nonsense, and chiyetze beilu advorim she'in mevi'im aleim chatos v'ashomis, because these things will not bring any sin. What am I doing? It's not a terrible thing. Haloi gam li levov kamoim uktani avo mimosnehim umadu ayim shechunehim achareim. Aval b'ni hishomer mipneihim. But my son, be careful of this, of these people, of this attitude. Pentiloked berishtam, lest you be caught up in their nets. Rabim shosu mitzechach kostar alosom. Many, as a result of this attitude, have drunk their glass of their own poison. And you save your own soul. And once you've understood this principle, the multitude of mitzvahs will be no longer difficult for you. You'll understand the merit of them. We need to understand that the multitude of mitzvahs and the complexity of halacha, which is given to us, is given to us because that is what is best for us. Not that we could just as well do things which are not in accordance with halacha, but this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, so we have to do it. No, we have to know that in addition to all the other reasons for keeping the Torah, very basic to everything is the knowledge, the belief, and the understanding that this is what's best for us, that we cannot live any other way. If we examine what are people's greatest desires, what do they really dedicate themselves to? We'll find one common denominator, and that is improving themselves. Ask any person from any culture, anywhere in the world, what would you want for your children? I would want that they should have a better life than I had. I want that they should become more educated. I want that they should improve themselves. Ask a person himself, if he's a little bit older than a teenager, what do you want most? What is your desire? To improve myself, to better myself, to qualify in a greater extent, to become a finer person, to become a greater person, a wiser person, a more competent person, and society as a whole. All the millions and billions of dollars that are poured into every society, what is it for? And the man hours, the energy that goes in, each in his own field, the research that goes into medicine, and the research that goes into physics, and into nuclear physics, and to every area, what's it all for? To better society, to make the world a better place to live in, to improve standards of living, to improve efficiency of life. All the time this tremendous toil is to improve, to raise standards and to raise standards and to raise standards. Imagine if you came to a poor family and you said to them, what do you want most for your children? A person would say that my child should have more than I had, should be better off. So say, how much better off? You're a peasant. What do you want from your child? I would like my child to be a clerk. I want my child to be a priest, a man of religion, so a little bit more. And if you would say to that family, how would you like it if your son became a nobleman? If your son became a member of the king's court? The parent would laugh, don't talk nonsense. No, he's talking seriously. My son doesn't know the finesse, he doesn't know how you're supposed to behave, it's completely foreign to him. Not to worry, we'll train him. You don't have to worry, everything will be alright. But I can't afford such training. How many years will it take? Imagine how that parent would jump at such an opportunity. In one go to be able to achieve not only that the child should be a little bit better off, but that the child should be able to achieve the maximum of social achievement that can be achieved in that society. And for nothing. That's what the Torah is. The Torah comes and says, idiots, you're trying to improve yourselves. Your whole life, the whole of history, the whole of society is dedicated to one thing and one thing only. And that is self-improvement, self-improvement, self-improvement. Each one trying to be greater and better than the ones before them. Trying to be greater and better than the day before, than the year before. Improve standards, improve quality of life. Improve educational levels. There comes the Torah and says, you know what? How would you like, forget about improving, just relatively. How about absolute improvement? How would you like to reach the pinnacle of human achievement? We laugh. Imagine somebody walked into you tonight, in the middle of the night, while you're sitting, studying, learning, whatever, and somebody said, how would you like to reach the pinnacle? How would you like to be the top, best? I said, 1 minute, best in what? I said, best in everything. How would you like that? I said, don't talk nonsense. No, not talking nonsense. Alright, how would you like to be the best in your field? What are you studying there? You're studying medicine? How would you like tomorrow you're going to be the best doctor in the world? How would you like that? Who would turn it down? And if in addition to that, you know what? You can be the best lawyer in the world as well, thrown in for nothing. And in addition to that, v'chein halo, through all the professions, and you know what? You'll be a great man too, you'll be a mensch as well. How would you like it? He would say, it sounds very nice. What's this going to cost? I know what an MBA costs, I know how many years it takes and what it costs. I know what a medical degree, how long it takes and what it costs. I know what a legal degree costs and how long it takes. How much is this little joke going to cost? I think he says, here it is. Here's the course. Keep it. Go through it and you're at your leisure. Do it for work. That's what we've been given. That's the Torah. L'fichach rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zak yisus Yitzroel. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want? He wants us to achieve the pinnacle of human excellence. And he gives us a course. You see these courses that come around in the post, in the mail. All these millions of things, one after another, how to do this, and how to do that, and how to achieve this, and how to achieve that. All self-improvement, expensive as anything. 150 rand for a little booklet on this, and another 150 rand for a little booklet on that. And I assume that people send in for these things, otherwise they would be out of business already. I've been receiving them for a couple of years already, these notes in the mail. That means the company that's sending them has been in business for a few years. Somebody must be paying them, so somebody must be buying their products. That means people are prepared to spend money on a vague promise of being able to achieve something or other. Here comes the Torah. Everything you want. Absolute success, guaranteed, as in whatever field you want, provided the Torah is followed. He wants us to be better off. That's why he gave us a Torah. And says the Sefer HaChinuch, the purpose is not just the actions. This is an educational system. Quite apart from the inherent value of each action, the actions are not only educational, but quite apart from the inherent value of this of each action, we need to know the educational effect of every action. That every action affects the individual himself. Ki achre hapu'ulois nimshochim halavovos. The heart, the mind, the essence of the human being follows the actions. So by performing certain actions defined by the Ribbono Shel Olam, it is possible to achieve godliness. It is possible to achieve absolute human excellence in mind, in spirit, in body, in deed, in everything. All we have to do is do it. But there's a danger. If we do it for our own good, we can miss the whole point. Come to a fellow who's putting on tefillin, what are you doing? No, I'm becoming a better lawyer. I beg your pardon? Since when do lawyers do this every morning? No, it's a new course that we got it. We Jews were handed out this course, and I was told if I want to be a better lawyer or doctor or policeman or whatever it is that I happen to be, I do these things. Here's a list of them. One of them is that you wind this thing around your hand 7 times every morning, and it works apparently. That's what I'm doing. We're missing the whole point. We have to do it for Kavod Shamayim. We have to do it because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. So here you have this reciprocity of attitudes. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives something and says, there's nothing better for you than this. And we take it and we say, my goodness, there's nothing that we can do greater than to give you Ribbono Shel Olam nachas. We're looking at it from different attitudes. We have this kind of relationship very often. We have this kind of relationship in the Gemara that we've had discussed fairly often about the good guest and the bad guest. The guest comes into the house. What does the Bala Boss have to say? Make yourself at home. What does the guest say? My goodness, you prepared all this for me? No, don't worry, says the Bala Boss. We eat like this every day. The Bala Boss says, wine? You have wine every day? He says, yes, we have wine. It's not just for you. It would be just the same if you weren't here. And all this meat, different types of meat, and so many courses, and the sweets, and tea and cake afterwards, you have to say, yeah, it makes no difference whether you were here or not, we would have the same. That's what the Bala Boss has to say. What does the guest have to say? I'm sure not. But the guest isn't supposed to say, oh, I'm pleased to hear it, I was beginning to feel embarrassed, thank you, pleased to hear it, at least I don't owe you anything. Or the guest who says, my goodness, what have you done for me? And the Bala Boss says, you're jolly right, what do you think, we normally do this kind of thing? Also wrong. So here you've got a guest and a Bala Boss who are adopting opposite attitudes in order to establish the correct relationship to the same event. Who's right? They're both right. Different ways of looking at the same thing. Who's right? Has the Ribbono Shel Olam given us the Torah for our own good? Or are we performing the Torah as a Kavod Shamayim, as honor for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Who's right? Both right. If we will perform the Torah as an honor for the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is nothing more we can do for our own benefit than that. There's one case, in fact, where the Meshech Chochmah points out that these two attitudes can, in fact, lead to opposite results. And he says it on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Avdalad Amud Aleph. The Omer Rav Papi, Mashmei de Rove, Rav Papi said in the name of Rove, Maidichti, what's pshat in the posuk? Va'oni yosalti, chizakti zroyosom. Ve'elai yachshivu ro. I have punished, I have strengthened their arm, and they consider it wrong of me. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is how the Meshech Chochmah learns Pshat in the Gemara. Ani amarti, I said, Ayasreim biyisurim ba'olam hazeh. Let me cause them to suffer pain in this world. So that their arms should be more powerful in Olam Haba. Whatever they've done wrong, let them pay for in this world. So that when they come to Olam Haba, they're clean, they're clear, everything, they come with a clear cheshbon. And towards me, they consider it wrong. Who's the day? So normally people learn Pshat. The world considers it wrong. The people see a tzaddik suffering and they consider it wrong. Why is the tzaddik suffering? Explains the Meshech Chochmah, the tzaddik also considers it wrong. A tzaddik will do anything for his Olam Haba. And he'll sacrifice anything for his Olam Haba. He'll sacrifice his life. He'll sacrifice every penny he's got, as we discussed last night in the Chumash. Every penny he's got, not to do one avera which might in some way detract from the quality of his Olam Haba. To suffer a little bit of inconvenience in this world, to suffer temporary suffering, temporary pain, temporary trauma. Oh good, okay. So it has an end. All this comes to an end eventually. It doesn't go on forever. No matter how bad the suffering, it comes to an end eventually. But in Olam Haba, that's a life of eternity. No tzaddik would run the risk of damaging in one little way the quality of his life in Olam Haba. And he would choose any suffering in this world that his Olam Haba should remain perfect and untouched. But Eilai Yachshivu Ro, they say, but Ribbono Shel Olam, what about Chilul Hashem? The world looks upon me as a tzaddik. and you're making my life miserable here. That's a chilul Hashem. People are going to say, what kind of God is this? Here's a righteous man and look how he suffers. So you know what, Ribbono Shel Olam, says the tzaddik, I would rather that you gave me a good life here and you took it off Olam Haba. Why? Because that's better for your cover, that's better for your honor. Let there be Kiddush Hashem here, let people see that the tzaddik's happy here. They don't have to know how I'm going to have to pay for that in Olam Haba. It's not their business. So what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, what's best for us, is to suffer in this world. And what's best for the Ribbono Shel Olam is that we should be comfortable in this world. That a Frumah Yid should be comfortable in this world, that's best for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because of Kiddush Hashem, people look and they say, my goodness, a Frum Jew, and he's making it, he's alright. Rather that than to have him suffering in a terrible way. But what's good for the Jew himself? Much better for him to suffer here and to have his Olam Haba intact. There you have a case where the two attitudes in fact create converse effect. That the Ribbono Shel Olam would like to cause us suffering here to be good to us ultimately, and we, for the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam, have reluctantly to opt for joy here, for pleasure here, in return for suffering in Olam Haba. What a sacrifice that is for a tzaddik. This reciprocal but converse attitude to life creates an interesting equation. The equation between Kovid Yisrael and Kovid Hamokri. The equation between the honor of the Jewish people and the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Nekeim nikmas b'nei Yisrael," go and take vengeance from the vengeance of the b'nei Yisrael. Moshe says, "That's how you see it, Ribbono Shel Olam. You see everything in our terms. We have to see it in your terms. And for us, it's nikmas Hashem. As far as we see it, the Midianites dealt a blow to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Never mind that. So we died. It was only Olam Hazeh. But you, Ribbono Shel Olam, there was chilul Hashem." That the nation saw how easy it is to undermine the moral stature of the Jewish people. It's your honor they attacked. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's your honor they attacked. Who's right? Both are right. But the one thing we see for sure is the equation. The honor of Am Yisrael is equivalent to the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That equation is expressed by the Medrash in the Yalkut. L'hidia shvochum shel tzadikim. This comes to teach you the honor of tzaddikim, that they don't die until they have demanded the vengeance of Yisrael. Why? Adds the Medrash, Shehi nikmas mishomav ha'yohayla, because they're acting on behalf of He who created the world, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When they demand the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael, they're demanding the vengeance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's hayinu hach, it's one and the same. Anti-Semitism is not anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is anti-God. Anti-Semitism is anti-Torah. A man who despises a Ben Torah, a man who despises a Frum Jew, he's not despising the Frum Jew. He despises the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the ambassador, if the South African ambassador walks out of the United Nations and they throw eggs at him, they don't, not because they don't like him, they don't know him. They like what he stands for. They dislike what he stands for. That's what they're throwing eggs at. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, if we were going like them, would they pester us? Would there be anti-Semitism? Do they really hate us for what we are? They hate us for what we stand for. We are the reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. That's what they're attacking. It's you they're attacking, not us. And that leads us to a very eye-opening concept. If anti-Semitism, if hatred of a Jew is hatred of God, what is love of a Jew? It's love of God. Chazal say, "V'ahavto l'reicha kamicha, ze klal gadol b'Torah." You shall love your friend as yourself. Chazal say, your friend reicha means reicha b'mitzvahs, a friend who shares your system, your value system. We're not talking about just anybody. Reicha, a person who stands for the same things that you stand for. V'ahavto l'reicha kamicha. If you love him as you love yourself, that klal gadol b'Torah. This is a basic principle, a great principle of Torah. And we know that when Hillel was approached by the non-Jew to convert, and he asked to be taught one guiding principle which would encapsulate the essence of Torah, Hillel said, "Ta'alach sani l'chavicha atavid. what you find distasteful, don't do to others. That's the whole Torah. The rest is just perushim. That's the whole Torah. What does it mean, that's the whole Torah? What about tefillin? What about Torah Aduma? What about Korban Oila? What about Nadorim? What's that got to do with it? Yet we see it is basic. Why? It's very easy to love somebody you like. For that you don't have to be a great person. For that you just have to be a normal intuitive person. A parent loves his children, a child loves their parents. Is that greatness? No. That's something we're born with. If somebody flatters you, you like them. If somebody's harsh to you, you dislike them. That's normal. That's not any form of greatness. That's not what is meant by the mitzvah of the ahavta l'reyecha kamoicha. That's not what it means. The ahavta l'reyecha kamoicha means to love your reyo, your friend, as yourself, even though you feel no natural love towards him, whatever. It's not a demand for natural love. You don't need a mitzvah for natural love. It's a demand for supernatural love. In Klal Yisrael there are different groups of people. We're talking now about Klal Yisrael, who's the frum group of Klal Yisrael, those who keep the Torah, those who stand for Torah. But even among those groups, there are many different facets, many different groups, supporters of slightly varying ideologies. You've got Hasidim, and you've got Misnagdim, and you've got dozens of different brands of Misnagdim, and countless dozens of different brands of Hasidim. Each one with slight variances in the way they do things, and the way they see things, all sharing one common denominator, Shulchan Aruch. Everybody keeps and practices and is subservient to the Shulchan Aruch. That's a Frumer Yid. Yet there are differences. To love people from your own group, that's not the Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha. To love those that belong to your club and potential converts to your club, that's not the Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha. The Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha is to love those who don't belong to yours and never will belong to yours, and they have no interest in belonging to yours because they have their own, which they hold to be superior to yours. Love him like you love yourself. That's a Klal Godol Vatorah. Why? Why should I love him like I love myself? Natural love? No. He calls my Rebbe names and I call his Rebbe names. What kind of love should there be? That's the Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha. Why? Because the principle of Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha is that just as hate of a Jew, anti-Semitism, is hate of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so love of the Jew is love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's it. He stands as a Jew who observes the Shulchan Aruch. He stands in his own way as a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, as a facet of a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that you don't approve of everything he does, no, good, that's something else. But if he accepts the Shulchan Aruch the same way you do, he's a Jew who stands as the way he sees it in accordance with his own tradition as a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. That's the one you've got to love. And it's not easy. Because you're not loving him, the individual. You're not loving him, the ambassador himself. You're loving that for which he stands. He's a Yid who stands up and says, I stand for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you come along and say, I hate you. What does that mean? He does stand for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He puts his life on the line for that. In a different way to the way you do. Good, but he still does. So who are you hating when a man says that? You're hating the Ribbono Shel Olam and don't think anything else of it. That's the pshat in the Ahavta L'Reyecha Kamoicha, the Klal Godol B'Torah, the pshat that Reb Simcha Zissel gives. That's the equation of Nekoimis Nikmas Yisrael and Nekoimis Nikmas Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, here's the prescription to your own death. When you're ready, take it. Moshe Rabbeinu opens the prescription. What is it? Nakim is Nikmas Yisrael. Take the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael. Says Moshe, if it was just the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael wants me longer. The fact is that he couldn't find volunteers for the fight. Nobody wanted to go, not because they were scared. Nobody wanted to go because they knew it meant the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to be forced. This was the one case when there was conscription. They had to be forced into the army. No individual wanted to volunteer to a war which they knew would terminate the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. How difficult would it have been for Moshe Rabbeinu to say in that case, it's for the honor of Yisrael. Yisrael wants to forego that honor. They're willing to wait a little bit. They still want me around. How difficult would it be to justify such a thing and to take the prescription and put it in his pocket? It will come later, there will come the time when he's ready, but not now. That's if you don't understand the equation. If you understand the equation that Kovod Yisrael is Kovod Hamokel, that we're dealing with the honor of God, not with the honor of Israel. You, Israel, have no right to be moichel on your honor. You have no right to forgo your honor because your honor is God's honor. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, as much as I want life, I want to do kovod for the Ribbono Shel Olam. As the Mishnah says, asei ritzoinoi kiritzoincha, make the Ribbono Shel Olam's will like your will. And this Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Ribbono Shel Olam's will, what is in his interests is the vengeance of the Midianim, because we saw the action of the Midianim as an act against God. It was anti-God, not anti-Semitism. And now that we're given the opportunity to take vengeance, that's vengeance for God, not vengeance for Jew. And that I don't have the right to delay, because Klal Yisrael want me around a little bit longer. That has to be done now. And that rotzon, that desire, overrides my desire for life. As much as I want life and as long as I would like to live, I have to do this because that's the Kovod Shamayim. One has to understand that as much as one has to be Ma'uravim Habriyos, one has to be pleasant with people, get on with people, one has to see also that one's own Kovod as a Jew is Kovod Shamayim, and that one can't compromise. There are times when one has to understand that just as one cannot compromise another Jew's honor and respect because one is playing around with Kovod Shamayim, if one deals disrespectfully with another Jew, a Jew who keeps the Torah, a person who is subservient to the Shulchan Aruch, a person who accepts Das Torah, a Poshut Yid, a person who sits and learns a little bit every day, walks into the room and I don't stand up when he addresses me, what am I doing? Who am I not standing up for? The ambassador of the Ribbono Shel Olam walked in and I sat lounging around talking to him. That's not anti-Jew. That's anti-God. Likewise, one has to know with one's own covenant that sometimes one has to insist on being dealt with the respect deserving of a Jew in order that there should be the correct respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are not balabatim. We have no rights to forgo the honor that a Jew deserves. We're talking about a Jew who shomer Torah and mitzvahs. A Jew who stands for Torah and who operates on the basis of Torah. He has a right to certain honor, not because of himself, but because of that for which he stands. A little bit further in the Medrash, we see a section which I'm not going to spend much time on, because we've discussed it before, but merely to see the link. Or perhaps even before I do that, I need to go into the shiur that I was going to give next Shabbos morning on the next three brochas that we're dealing with, at least the first two of them. What do we mean when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shaloi Asoni Goy? What kind of racialistic brocha is this? We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for not having made me a non-Jew. The next brocha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shaloi Asoni Eved. Thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for not making me a slave. The next bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shaloi Asoni Isha, for not having made me a woman. What's going on here? These brachas are listed in a certain order, and we need to appreciate the order very carefully. The first bracha is, thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that I wasn't made a non-Jew. That's number one. Baruch Hashem. Anything but not that. Next level. Good. Now I'm not a non-Jew. Thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that I'm not created an Eved, a slave. What does a slave mean? A slave is a non-Jewish slave working for a Jewish family. It's an Eved Kanani. That means that that's second choice. My first choice is, if I had a choice as to how to be created, the first choice is not as a non-Jew. The second choice is not as a slave. Not the other way around. One would think it would be the other way around. First thing is, Baruch Hashem, I was created a free man. I'm not a slave. I'm my own balabos. Secondly, not only am I free, but I'm also not a non-Jew. I have the mitzvahs of a Noson, who his eyes, he never used to walk around the street with his eyes open in case he should see anything that he shouldn't see. A person who learnt all day and was involved in Torah all day and all night, nothing else. He'd never seen a newspaper. He'd never seen nothing, absolutely, he'd never seen anything apart from his Dalet Amos, the four Amos in which he walked. And the day after the American elections, he came up to somebody in the street, who won? Carter won, was that election. Right, said, good, okay. So Rabbi Cohen went up to this Rabbi Nota once and he said, what on earth does it affect you who won the election? What do you care who won the election? Oh, he says, it affects me very much. He says, when I say the brocha in the morning, Shelo Yosani Goy, I thank the Ribbono Shelom for not making me a non-Jew. What do you think I'm talking about? The non-Jew who cleans shoes outside the gates of the old city? That Arab there who sits on the floor and polishes shoes for a few cents? Is that what I'm saying? Thank you, Ribbono Shelom, for not creating me like it. That's not what I mean. I mean, thank you, Ribbono Shelom, for not creating me a goy of the quality of the President of the United States of America. That's what I thank you for. And I need to know, who is that goy that I'm saying, Baruch Hashem, I'm not him. I have much greater qualities than him. I'm in a much greater situation than him. That's the non-Jew I'm talking about, not the non-Jew in the street. I'm talking about a king, about a queen, about a president. That's what I mean when I say Shelo Yosani Goy. The maximum of non-Jewish achievement is what I'm thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for not having made me. And to that I add, not as right. Look at the next pasuk. And thank you for not making me a slave, but if you had to make me one of the two, rather a non-Jewish slave working for a Jewish family than the President of the United States of America. That's pshat. Does that make any sense? Yes. If the Jewish family are people who shomrei Torah mitzvot, as it should be, then they stand for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Working for a Jew means working for God. Working for the American Senate doesn't mean working for God. I would rather be a slave, I would rather be a servant working for a Jewish family than be a king, a non-Jewish king. That's the pshat in those first two brachas. And then comes the third bracha. Not even a woman in terms of the number of mitzvahs that I have to do. Why? Because of the Sefer Achinuch. The mitzvahs were given for our good, and I'm fortunate enough to have been created that type of being who has the maximum of mitzvahs, a male Jew. That's what I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for. An understanding of the value of a Jew. What is a Yid? A poshut a Yid, a simple Jew, is an ambassador of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what he stands for, that's what he is. Every action, every movement, is governed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's one of the frustrating things if you have a friend who's an ambassador, you can never get his own opinion on anything. Always is telling you the opinion of his government. The opinion of his government. Whatever he does, it's always his government. He's like a puppet. That's what he's paid for. That's his job. So it is in a sense with the Jew. Everything he does is godliness. Everything he does is a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything he does is determined and governed by the Torah, not by his own desires, not only by that which he would want to do. And that's who he is. That's what he is. And our relationship to him is our relationship to one who stands for Torah, not just to an individual who happens to be this or happens to be that. As a matter of interest, one of the brochas is not thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for not having created me a sinful Jew. And if there was such a brocha, that brocha would be at the beginning. That would be even before thank you God for not having created me a non-Jew. That would be the worst of the lot, to be a Jew who doesn't keep the Torah. In that sense, in that order, is the worst of the lot. The reason that there's no brocha for that is only because God didn't make us that way. Can't say thank you God for not making me sinful. God doesn't make anybody sinful. We make ourselves sinful. That's the only reason that stage is left out. With all this fervor, with all this passion and realization that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to demand the vengeance of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Medrash points out, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Nokem Nikmas Ato Ba'atzmecho. You yourself go and do the mitzvah of taking vengeance from the Midyanim. And what does he do? He sends others. You're so excited, Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it's bringing your own death with Mesilus Nefesh, you don't waste a moment, you get down to it. This great mitzvah of demanding the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Surely you would want this mitzvah for yourself, it's been given to you. Surely you want it for yourself. Elamit Nation is Gadol Be'eretz Midian. But since he grew up in the land of Midian, Omar, he said, Eina bedin sha'ani meitza lemish also b'toyim. It is not fitting that I should cause suffering to those who did me good. The fact that they've done a great deal more evil than they did good doesn't cancel out. When it comes to matters of hakoros hatov, of recognition of good, you don't cancel out. You don't work like an accountant. He did me 3 favors and he stabbed me in the back 10 times, so I still owe him a few stabs in the back. That's not how we work. That's not how we work. For the stabs in the back, I'll have to pay him. But for the tovas, I also have to pay him. For the 3 kindnesses, I also have to pay him. I have to remain grateful to him for that. Moshe, the Bnei Israel have received such terrible tzoras from the Midianim. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, but to me personally, they did a favor as well. I can't be the one to do it. Hamoshe Loimer, for example, the saying is, don't throw a stone into a well from which you've drank. You've had benefit from it, don't damage it, leave it alone. Here we see the godliness. With all the passion to do God's will, with all the passion to demand God's honor, but even that has to be done in a godly way. And a godly way doesn't mean doing something which is morally incorrect. That the Midianim have to be wiped out? Yes. That I have to do it? Unfortunately, I can't. As great a mitzvah as it would be, and as much as I would want to, it would go against that very godliness for which I stand. I have to allow somebody else to do it. In the midst of all the passion, in the midst of all the fervor, the retention of that perfect uprightness, that perfect moral stature, and that perfect moral being. That's what our Torah demands of us. An understanding that while we're doing it for the Ribbono Shel Olam, what we're doing is becoming godly for our own good. There is no greater course for self-improvement than the course which is called the Torah. There are no greater heights that can be reached than the heights that can be reached by following this course. We have to understand that the course that we're following is the course of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the course of standing for the Ribbono Shel Olam and fighting for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to understand that any Jew who is a member of this course, whether he's in our class or in another class, doesn't matter. Whether in his our house, do they still call them houses at the schools? Whether he's in our house or he's in a competing house, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same course. We're all part of that same Torah and we all stand for the same things. And just as anti-Semitism is anti-God, so Avos Yisrael, love of a Jew, is Avas Hashem, that is love of God.